You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. If common sense were a cat, they would be buried in sand. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today on the NativeTalk.net radio program. Brandon cannot join us, but I have Jason in the studio with us. How you doing, buddy?
Good. And anyway, what you just said, they already knew, but keep going.
How did they know that until we told them?
Because we told them previously, but people who didn't watch this, good for you.
Okay. All right. You can always make comments through the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Native Talk Radio. The phone number, if you want to call and leave us a voice message, 970-2785-791. Now, Jason, have you ever seen a smoke detector before?
No.
You've never seen a smoke detector?
No.
Okay, do you see that white thing on the wall right over there?
What white thing?
The white circle thing that's on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I did see a smoke detector. It basically beeps when it smells smoke.
Exactly, when it smells smoke. So if I asked you, what is a smoke detector's job, what would you say it is?
A smoke detector's job is to let people know that there can either be a fire in the house or smoke in the house.
That is correct. Unfortunately, 500,000 smoke detectors made by Kitty don't work, so they're being recalled. So if you have a smoke detector made by Kitty, now you can look at it. If it has a dual sensor alarm and has a pill shape across the front, just check the back of it and see if it's model PI-2010 or PI-9010. If it is, look inside and see if there's a yellow cap. If you see a yellow cap, you need to get a replacement from Kitty. Both the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and Kitty have more details on their websites. Basically, the yellow cap covers one of the two smoke sensors. And, oh yeah, almost 500,000 units sold between 2016 and 2018 have them. So if you recently got a smoke detector, you should probably check that out.
What is Kitty?
It's a brand name. It's like, you know what I mean? Like Coca-Cola, that's a brand. Okay, so Kitty is a brand of smoke detectors.
Okay.
Now, I got another question for you. What is the natural world?
Natural world?
Yeah, what is the natural world?
The natural world is when people think positive.
No.
Good,
the natural world? How is the natural world where the people think positive?
I don't know what natural world is.
You don't know. Okay. When you go outside and you see the grass, do you think that's natural or do you think somebody built that?
It's natural.
When you see a bug, is that natural or did somebody build the bug?
It's natural.
Okay, so how do you understand the natural world?
By seeing if it grows or not. If it doesn't grow, it's not natural. If it grows by itself, it is natural.
All right, perfect. Now, there has actually been a lot of research in how young children understand the natural world. So if I ask you if you're a young child, are you a young child?
Yes.
How old are you?
6.
What grade are you in?
1st.
Okay, so you're a 6-year-old in the 1st grade. Now, most research into the question of how children understand the natural world has focused on urban. Do you know what urban means?
No.
That means city. Do we live in the city?
No.
Do we live in a field?
Of course not.
Where do we live?
In an area called Loveland.
Yes, it's actually a city, Jason. It's not a big city, but we are classified as a city at least.
Okay.
But we're not a giant city. We're actually what they call suburban, All right. So that means you're not quite a city. We live in a house. We have a yard, that kind of thing. Middle class white American children living near large universities. So even when psychologists include kids from other communities like ours, they use experimental procedures that were originally developed for urban children. So let me ask you a question. Have you been down to Denver?
A couple of times.
Does it look like a bigger city than Loveland or smaller?
Oh, a bigger city.
Okay, so it's a bigger city. So would you say that Loveland and Denver are the same?
No.
Exactly. So if you develop something for use in a big city, and then you go out to the suburban or rural areas, and you use procedures developed for the city, you're not going to get the same results. So now researchers have developed a new methodology, that means like a way of doing things,
okay,
for studying rural. Do you know what rural means?
No.
It means not a city.
Oh.
Okay, so you have city, you have suburban, that's where we live, and you have rural. Rural means like farms and like lives in the fields and stuff like that, so far away from the cities, okay? And so they're trying to study how Native Americans who live far away from the city, how they see nature and compare their responses to those living in the city. Do you think they see the world the same way?
No.
Of course they don't see the world the same way. They live in completely different worlds. So the new findings offer some rare cross-cultural insight into early childhood environmental education. So let me give you an example. I'm going to show you something, Jason, and I want you to tell me what it is. What is this?
It is a toy cow.
Toy cow. Now, can you describe to me, explain to me what a cow is, how it works?
So a cow is a black and white animal, and, you use it to get milk.
Okay. Does it make any sounds?
It only makes one sound, which that spells moo.
All right, perfect. Now, do you understand that this is like a toy?
Oh, yes, it is a toy.
So you can tell the difference between a toy and a real cow?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because the toy cow is like 10 inches. A cow is basically 50 inches.
Okay, so Sandra Waxman, who's a developmental psychologist at Northwestern University, they've long collaborated with the Menominee, which is a Native American nation in Wisconsin. So the researchers took their plans for the study to tribal members who were also trained research assistants, and the assistants said, this experiment's not going to work because the experiment involves watching children play with toy animals. But it's not culturally appropriate because it doesn't make sense to the Menominee to think of animals as divorced from their actual ecological context, says Waxman. Now, what that means is when they're playing with the toy, they're seeing it as, even though it's like, you know, not alive, it's not mooing, they kind of see it as the same thing as the actual cow. So what they did to kind of do things, and the reason is because the natives in that area, they don't really play with a lot of toys, but they do see a lot of cows. So they don't really see the difference between the two, according to her. So what they did was the Menominee researchers constructed a diorama. That basically means it's a model, and it included realistic looking trees, grass and rocks, as well as those toy animals. Then they watched as three groups of four-year-olds. You're four, right?
No, I am six.
Okay. So they looked at four-year-olds playing with this diorama. You've got the rural Menominee, other Native Americans, and other, you know, just Native Americans and other Americans living in Chicago and the suburbs. So you see city kids and you see the rural kids, all right? And all three groups were very likely to enact realistic scenarios with the toy animals than imaginary scenarios. So what would be a realistic scenario for this toy cow? Like, what would you do if you're playing with the cow?
Well, I would just play with it.
You would play with it. How would you play with it? Would the cow get in a rocket ship and go to the moon?
Perhaps, since it's a childhood.
Okay, what I'm asking is, if you're playing with a cow, do you do something that, like, play with it the way cows actually act? Or do you turn the cow into something crazy, like a spaceman?
I would rather turn it into a talking cow called Moo Guy, which he's a superhero, and he could do anything he could want, especially defeat bad guys.
Okay, well, you're weird. So, all the kids did go through realistic scenarios, unlike Jason here. They, like, walked in the fields and they ate grass. But the difference is, both groups of Native American kids, whether you're talking city Native Americans or rural Native Americans, they were more likely to imagine that they were the animals than to give the animals human attributes. So, for example, you, Jason, you're talking about the cow as Moo Guy. So you gave this animal a human attribute. Okay, that means like characteristics. Whereas the Native Americans, who live in Native communities, they gave themselves the animal characteristics. And the rural Menominee were especially talkative during the experiment, contrary to previous research that characterized these children as less verbal than their non-Native American peers. So in other words, it seems like the rural Native Americans, the Menominee, they thought that they didn't talk very much. But when you start giving them animals and stuff to play with, they start being more verbal. The results were published last November in the Journal of Cognition and Development. Program director Corey Welch, who's a member of the Northern Cheyenne tribe, says that the involvement of tribal communities in all aspects of research, planning, design, and dissemination has to be the minimum requirement of all research involving Native people. So in other words, go talk to the communities and figure out what works best before you just run an experiment and expect yourself to get good results. Because if you have no idea about the culture you're dealing with, you're not going to get accurate data. So it seems like it's a good thing that scientists are starting to be better at their research and get good results. So hopefully that that continues. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a moment with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net.
The nativetalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
Flip us on, then flip them off. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Hard... You're listening to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. We're definitely not bribing you to listen, even with your great sense of humor. Not to mention your great looks.
Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio program. Message line, if you want to call us up and leave a message, 970-278-5791. And make sure you visit us online at NativeTalk.net to download and listen to any of our past shows. Now, Jason, I don't know if I've talked to you about drugs before. Have I?
A couple of times.
I have. What did I tell you about drugs?
Drugs are bad for your health.
Okay. Why?
I don't know.
You don't know why drugs are bad for you?
Yes.
I think they're... You do know or you don't know?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, because they make your heart beat too fast. Now, let me ask you a question, Jason. Take your hands, okay? Put them together like this. I want you to rub it really fast. What do you start to feel? What's it feel like when you go really fast like that?
Your hands start to get scratched and they start to hurt.
And does it start to get like kind of warm and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, so when you work something very fast, it gets like, you know, hot, it can wear out. And what if you go slow? Does it bother you quite as much?
No. Okay. Because the only thing, it takes a long time to actually travel up.
Yeah, but see, the point is, Jason, if your heart is beating super fast, it works the same way. It's not good for it if it works too much. Okay. Also, you have your liver inside your body that takes the drugs out, and so it's working extra hard. It's just bad for your body, okay? So if it's bad for you, and you know it's bad for you, why on earth do people use them?
I do not know.
Don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you why people use drugs. Because even though it's bad for you, it makes you feel good. Do you like feeling good?
Yes.
All right. Also, when you feel good, you forget about the bad things, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so people do it because they're bored. And if you're bored, do you wish you weren't bored?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what if you have nothing happening in your life? What do you want? If you have absolutely nothing, you're just laying there, nothing's happening.
You probably want something to happen.
Exactly, so they take drugs because they feel good. Now, do you have any problems in your life? What kind of problems do you have?
Having a hard day, going through quests that I made up myself.
Okay, and those are your problems.
Well, I have way more problems, but I can't share them all.
Okay, do you like having problems?
No.
Okay, yeah, people want to forget about their problems. They want to get away with them. But is it easy to solve problems?
Kind of.
Well, for some people, it's harder than others. So instead of solving a problem, they just do drugs and they forget all about it. So we need to fix people and help them get off of drugs. So instead of helping them escape from their lives, we need to help people find the purpose. So why are you alive, Jason? What is your purpose in life? What are you excited about? What are you motivated to accomplish?
To be a scientist, who discovers Titanic, even though I have to do it less than 20 years.
Why?
Because in 20 years, the Titanic will be gone.
And why is that? It's just at the bottom of the ocean. It's going to stay there, right?
No, there is a bacteria which is eating all the metal, which it within 20 years, it will be all gone.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, you have your own podcast, don't you?
Yes.
Where do people listen to your podcast?
Jasonsworld.net.
Okay, so if you want to hear more from Jason, Jasonsworld.net, and he'll tell you all about the Titanic. Okay, but the point, Jason, is you have something that you're excited about. You have something that you want to accomplish in life. And you can see progress towards your goals. But for a lot of people out there, it's easier said than done. So you have me. I can teach you. I can help you. I can show you how to get through life. But for people who have no training, no experience, they're kind of lost out there. What can they do?
get taught, go to school, teach themselves.
Exactly. So you got to, try to find a mentor, somebody who can help you out. Because I've told you this before, can you be anything you want?
No.
Why not?
Because that's not possible.
Why is it not possible? Have you ever heard you can be anything that you ever want to be? People say that sometimes.
Well, the reason people say that sometimes it's because they kind of either lost their mind for a quick minute or they're just idiots.
Okay. That's very interesting and funny, buddy. Well, you're right. You can't be anything you want to be, and you can't be everything you want to be. But what you can be is anything that you have a talent for, and you develop that talent. You can be that. So you can be anything you're good at. But it's not magic. It takes hard work. Now, what have I told you about hard work and practice?
Well, you told me once that it's like an iceberg. You only see 10% of the iceberg above the ocean, and people see 10% of the iceberg above the ocean, and you see 90% of the iceberg above the
ocean. And what does that have to do with practice?
Well, just like an iceberg, people see 10% of your talent, you see 90% of your talent.
Well, what I was trying to tell you is that 90% of being good at something is practicing when nobody else is around. So when you show up and you show people your talents, they say, wow, that's amazing. But what they don't see is the 90%, the hours and hours, the days and weeks that you spent practicing and practicing and practicing getting good at something. So even if you have talent, it just doesn't happen to you. You have to create your abilities yourself through, practicing. All right. So how can people create their own future to become good at things?
Well,
let me try this. Do you want to be a leader or do you want to be a follower?
I want to be a leader.
A leader. Okay. And what's the one thing that great leaders have in common?
Lots of talents.
Well, they have lots of talents, but a lot of losers out there have talents. In more than 3,000 studies of leaders conducted over the years, there's one special quality that stands out, and it's the quality of vision. Leaders have vision. Non-leaders do not. What is vision?
Vision is what is inside your eyes and how you can see.
Okay, yes. There's a different kind of vision. It's called looking at the future, okay? When I asked you what you want to be, some people say, I don't know. But you can look forward, and of course, right now you're just a kid, so you don't know exactly what you want. It might change. But at some point, you'll realize, no, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to be, and you can start working towards that. So if you don't have vision, you're never going to know where you're going. It's like the Titanic. When it left Southampton in England, where was it going?
It was going headed to New York.
It had a purpose, a plan, okay? It had a direction. And so if you don't have a direction in your life, you're not going to go very far, right?
Yeah.
So I've told you this other one before. You become what you think about
most of the time.
Yeah, whatever you're thinking about, that's what you're going to become. So if you figure out what you want in life and you start headed towards it, then you're going to be successful. Okay? So the answer here is that leaders think about the future. They think about where they're going and they think about what they can do to get there. Whereas non-leaders, on the other hand, think about what's happening today, right now, the pleasures, the problems of the moment. That's why they do drugs, because they want to feel good today. They're not thinking about the problems of tomorrow. They think and they worry about the past, things that happened before and can't be changed. Let me ask you a question. Get close to the microphone. Has anything bad ever happened to you before?
A couple of times.
Can you change that?
Yes.
How can you change the past? Do you have a time machine?
No.
So how can you change the past?
by changing yourself today.
That doesn't change the past. What happened already happened. What you're talking about is not worrying about the past, thinking about the future, and moving on. So leave your problems of the past behind you and move to the forward, okay? You want to have what we call future orientations. As I mentioned, leaders think about the future and what they want to accomplish and where they want to go sometime down the road. Leaders think about what they want and what can be done to achieve it. So what I want you guys to do out there is start thinking about your future as well. Now, if you already know, I think that's fantastic, okay, because you're already well on your way. But when you start thinking about your future and what you want, you're starting to think as a leader. And soon, you will get the same results that leaders get. For example, I have a list of things I want in my life. I want a house. Now, when I wanted a house, I thought about it every day. Everything I did, everywhere I went, I thought about, I want a house, I want a house, I want a house. Now, Jason, have we always lived in a house?
No, because today we do live in a house, but a long time ago, when I was still 4 or 2 or something like that, when I was 5 and a half, I moved to a house. But when I was 5 or 4, 3 and 2, like 4 years, for 4 years, I was in an apartment.
That's right. But we wanted to buy a house. And because I thought about it, I had a goal that I thought about every single day, we got what we wanted. We bought a house. I wanted to be a commercial diver. So I figured out what I needed to do. I thought about it. I made plans. Guess what? Today, I am a commercial diver. And my third thing on my list is I want to someday own a hotel. Do I own a hotel now?
Yeah.
Really? I own a hotel?
No, you don't own a hotel.
But I want to. And I think about it all the time. What I'm going to do to get a hotel. Okay? And I think, and I think, and I think, and someday, mark my words, I will own one. Dr. Edward Banfield of Harvard concluded, after more than 50 years of research, that long-term perspective, looking to the future, was the most important determinant of financial and personal success in life. It's the ability to think several years into the future while making decisions in the present. The further you think into the future, the better decisions you'll make now to assure that the future becomes a reality. So I want you guys to think about that. If you have problems, if you're doing drugs, drinking alcohol, substance abuse, and you want your life to get better, I want you to take that lesson and I want you to hang on to it, okay? Start thinking about what you want and where you want to go and come up with a plan to get there. And that's the lesson that I teach my son and that my father taught me, and it's gotten me a lot of good stuff in life, so hopefully it helps you as well. You can email the show, podcast@nativetalk.net, with questions or problems.
Hold on.
We'll be glad to help you out. What?
Why did you use that music through the whole entire section?
Because we're saying goodbye.
Oh.
And that'll do it for us today. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. See you guys next week.
This is the nativetalk.net radio podcast. Face it, every other podcast in town bites. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.